The word today is Amen. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. At the end of prayers or hymns, Christians often say the word Amen. It's a word that is difficult to translate into English. It means, yes, it is true. The Bible also uses this word as a reference to Christ. Here from our archives, to tell us a little more about this word, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Amen.
There is only one true theology in the entire world. There is only one true God in the entire world. That is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one Godhead. Not three gods, but one God, who reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His holy word, which he has given to us, to the Holy Christian Church, which has now been around for several thousand years, we know is true, because Christ, when he came, and I'm talking about when he was born of the Virgin Mary, and at that time told us that he was sent from his Father to tell us the truth and to tell us the will of his Father. What he revealed above everything else to us was that the Father loves us, and that the Father sent him to suffer and die upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Prior to that, there was no way of knowing whether the Father loved us or hated us, and there was a great deal of fear, and you have to realize that all of the pagan teachings of all the pagan religions, take all of them, from the beginning of the history of the world down till now, the various cults and the various false teachings, all say and teach that God is to be feared. And when they talk about giving, they're talking about bringing gifts to God. They're talking about doing something to keep the wrath of God away from us so that we can once again be able to associate with this God who is very worked up because of all of our problems and our sins. You know, the only religion in the entire world that teaches that God loves us is the Christian religion. All the other religions teach that we have to appease the wrath of God somehow, that we have to live a certain way, that we have to do certain things. In fact, you go all the way back to the ancient religions. In fact, there were some religions way back, Old Testament days, where they would actually bring their little babies as infant sacrifices and toss them into fiery pits. And they would worship and sing praises and so on as though this was giving God a gift. And somehow God would be so pleased that he wouldn't let them lose at war or whatever the issue was that they were thinking about. In fact, you go way back in the days of the Egyptians, go way, way back, and the people thought that the pharaohs were some kind of a deity, and they had the view that during the day, the pharaoh would be in his tomb, and they built some elaborate tombs. You remember the pyramids. Those were actually tombs. And I can remember when I first saw the pyramids, you know, decades ago, when I was up inside the pyramids and saw the sarcophagus. That's a strange word to say. I don't say it very often. And that would be, like we would say today, a casket, and the remains would be there. Well, in those pyramids, they had many secret passageways and trapdoors and stuff. You would be told back 40, 50 years ago, you were told that this was to prevent the grave robbers from getting in and taking all the gold and silver. Well, there was a much more significant reason to these secret passageways and these trapdoors and things like that. As a matter of fact, you trip a certain trigger within the pathway, And a huge, large, several thousand pound rock would come down and simply smash you. Well, you know, it's easy to understand that maybe it kept the grave robbers out in some cases, but the real reason, I've been told by those that really know Egyptology, was that they felt that the pharaohs were actually gods, and that somehow at night they would come out of their tomb and move among the people as a spirit, as a kind of a non-fleshly person, but a spiritual person. And so they would put the slaves, they would put boats, they would put food, they would put music, they would put all kinds of things inside the tombs so that the pharaoh would not feel he had to come out. He could have his entertainment, he could have his food, he could have his wine, all these things. He could have the music, he could have everything. He would be very happy to stay inside and not come out and bother the people. I've been told by those that really know this subject that that was the real reason for the secret passageways, that if the king or the pharaoh would try to come out, he wouldn't be able to find his way out and bother the people by being there. So there was already, way back in the history of the world, there was already a fear of God. Now you look at some of the things in the Old Testament. Let me use as an illustration the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Holy of Holies. But when it was on the move, and when, for instance, Israel would be fighting a war, the Ark of the Covenant was carried by three priests on each side, and they had a pole through the rings on the side of the ark, and they would march with it at the head of the army. In other words, to say, our God is with us, and we want to remember that he is in charge of whether or not we win or lose this battle. You remember in several wars, several times, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from them and taken as ransom when they lost, and you remember how they worked to get it back and so on. I can remember one of the sections of scripture. I don't remember just where it was. Let me just say that I believe it's scriptural, that once when they were carrying it, it began to slide and it was going to fall, and one of the priests reached up and steadied it with his hand, and of course he immediately dropped dead. He was immediately killed because it was positively a warning, you do not touch the Ark of God because you'll die. And you remember, let me take a different illustration. You remember when Moses went up in Mount Sinai, you remember how careful they were about staying a distance away from the mountain and everything, and how God would always come in the form of a shadow, in the form of a cloud. And even when he communicated with Moses, how he told Moses, you know, you can't see me face to face because you'd die. An almighty holy God is not going to be able to be viewed by a sinful human being. It simply can't be done. It would kill you to be in the presence of a God that almighty and that great and that perfect. So I want to, you know, point out again in the Old Testament days how the Holy of Holies was simply off guard. You could not enter into the Holy Holies. Only one person, that would be the high priest, could do that, and only one day of the year. And there was a great deal of ceremonial preparation and everything before he could go in there. Anyone else that would try would be struck dead. So the fear of God, even to this day, I mentioned all the pagan religions, all the religions made up by human beings to try to see who God is and to worship him, contain the element of fear. Like, you better get right with God. You better do something to kind of pay for the mistakes you've made. And so there's a lot in the natural heart of man, the sinful heart of man, there's a lot of fear of God. Now, Jesus Christ came in order to remove that fear and to say, you don't need to fear my Father in heaven. He sent me to bring you the message that he loves you and he wants you to be his children forever. and he sent me to pay the price. I am dying on the cross in your place, so that you don't have to die eternally, so that you can live eternally with my Father in heaven. And his love for you is why he sent me. And so he told us the will of his Father. I'll tell you, this is a fantastic concept. Make sure that when you're praying, you don't come to the Father as if you're scared stiff of him and you don't know how to approach him. We are told, as Jesus taught us about prayer, for instance, to come as a little child would come to their loving Father and realize that this is the way Jesus wants us to be in a relationship with him. So the biggest theme that I want to get across in the message today is that God is a God of love, not a God of fear. God sent his Son in order not to condemn the world and destroy it, but to save anyone that would listen to him and believe him and trust in him, and to find in him the forgiveness of their sins and the certainty that they are at peace with God. We have a relationship of peace with God. Forgiveness of our sins, all of the problems in our life can be resolved if we take them to the Lord. Now, that involves anything. I don't care what's troubling you today. I don't care if it's grief. It might be poverty. It might be famine. I don't care what your need or your problem is. Jesus Christ came to reveal that God wants to help his people. God loves his people. And not only does God love his people to help them here on earth, he wants them to be with him eternally in heaven, forever, without end. And that's the whole meaning of Jesus Christ coming, taking our place, paying the penalty for our sins, so that now we can have peace with God and have eternal life with him without end, forever. The next time you talk with somebody, make sure that they are loving God, the one true God, the one that has sent his Son to reveal his love for us. May God bless you and keep you in his care eternally, not just here on earth, but forever.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.